Welcome back to another episode of the Girls Talk Money podcast. I'm so excited for today's episode where we're going to be checking in on our 2024 goals. These are the goals that we set for ourselves at the beginning of the year and talked about in our New Year's goals episode. And Grace had the idea to film another episode checking in on them because somehow it's already the end of Q1, which is so crazy to me. This year has been going by so fast and I deem 2024 the best year ever. That's the energy that I'm trying to have for this year. So we're already a fourth of the way through the best year ever. But in this episode, we'll be checking in on our goals, talking about quarterly goal setting and what we want to accomplish in Q2, and also how to check in and maybe reset with your finances at this point in the year if you're feeling overwhelmed and want to get back on track for Q2. But before we get into the episode, let's do a weekly recap. Grace, hello. What is going on in your week?
Hello. I feel like some of the things that have been really top of mind for me in the last week are things we're going to talk about later in the episode, so I won't touch on those. But the other exciting things happening in my life, I posted a video about this a couple weeks ago about like reclaiming the gym and making it a space I truly enjoy going to, because the gym became super toxic for me in the past. It was solely focused on aesthetics, and that caused me to just like have really poor body image and fall into like disordered eating patterns. And I was like, you know what? No, like I stopped going to the gym a year and a half ago. I was like, I need to focus on like those actual issues, like on, you know, like why I was so focused on aesthetics and the body image and the eating patterns and things before I feel ready to like be back in that space. And this year when I moved, I got a new gym membership and I was like, I'm going to reclaim the space, because in the name of like the 1 year experiment I'm doing, I was like, how would my future self go about this? She would probably grip life by the balls and be like, we're going to do it. So I have been going to a lot of classes at my gym. I'm going to hot yoga tonight and I'm so excited because I love hot yoga. And I've been going to this like class that's like a power yoga, and it's all like middle-aged and older women, and it's so empowering to be around women who literally, there's a woman who goes, who's probably in her 70s, and she's out there like moving better than me. And I'm like, wow, like that's truly what I want. Like I've my mindset around exercise has shifted so much from being around like aesthetics to being around longevity. And I heard a quote the other day that was like, it was someone who was talking about her health, and she was like, I'm not trying to add more years to my life, I'm trying to add more life to my years. And I was like, I love that. Like, I don't know, I'm feeling like so empowered when it comes to movement and just really enjoying it and doing it not for the sake of aesthetics, but for the sake of like, I want to be a 75-year-old who can still like carry my own groceries and can like go for a long walk and have a dog and play with my dog. You know, like I really want to be able to enjoy that. And yeah, it's been so good. We've had a couple really warm days here in Massachusetts the last couple of weeks, and I've been going outside and just going on super long walks and just like moving my body. And it's honestly feeling so good. And I feel so excited that I'm like reclaiming the gym and that it's not being a toxic thing for me anymore. Like I'm so excited.
I love that so much. I also love when I go to a hot yoga class and there's a 70-year-old that's doing like a handstand beside me. Yes. And I can barely touch my toes. I'm like, okay. Yep. Sun get a little bit better at the little hot yoga.
Yeah, it's so empowering though to like see other people just, I don't know, just like doing the damn thing. And like, I don't know, I it's so inspiring to me, especially like the gym I go to. I feel like it's not, there are definitely young people, but I do find that it is a lot of older people. And I genuinely, like, I love that because, yeah, I don't know, like, they're out there, like, whipping ass at a pickleball. And I'm like, damn. Like, I don't know, it's very inspiring and very, like, motivating to be surrounded by it. But the other thing that is exciting, I was just telling Erin this before we started filming, I'm doing this series on my social media where I'm going through my closet and rediscovering my style, because I have lost my fashion sense. If you asked me like what my style is, I would not really know how to describe it. And I realized so much of my closet is just stuff that I don't like, or it's stuff from literally high school. Like this jacket I'm wearing, I'm literally getting rid of this. I'm just wearing it because it's like a bright color and I didn't want to keep the gray sweatshirt. I had a gray sweatshirt on this morning and I was like, if I wear this gray sweatshirt, I'm going to just fade into the abyss behind my, like into the wall behind me. But I've had this literally since high school. Like I wore it in high school and I'm just like, why do I still own this. I don't feel super confident in it. So I'm like, what am I doing here? So I'm going through my closet and getting rid of stuff that I don't love and rediscovering my style and just becoming more confident in the way that I like, you know, my appearance and the way I dress. And part of this, which I'm like so excited because I'm splurging on it, is I'm getting a color analysis this week. And I'm just so hyped, like, to just have clarity around like what colors look best on me and just to be able to know like what makeup shades look best on me, what hair colors, what nail colors. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be so exciting and so empowering to be able to go shopping and just know when I'm looking at things, like, because I feel like otherwise I go and I try things on and then I'm like, oh, I hate how this looks. And then I feel sad because I'm like, oh, like I look so bad in this. But it could just be because that piece is not good on my body shape or the color is just like not good for my skin tone. So then I'm putting things on that are going to end up looking bad on me and then feeling bad about it when I could just avoid it altogether. So I don't know. I'm like super excited. I feel like this year is really about like reclaiming, just like owning my confidence basically and growing into like the best version of me. So I feel really excited about doing that as well.
I can't wait to see the results of your color analysis because I know you posted a TikTok video about it where you used like the TikTok filter to kind of do your own color analysis. And the one result said that hot pink is not your color. It's like the total opposite of your color. And you were like, yeah, because over the summer I wore a hot pink bright shirt and I like didn't feel confident in it. Well, this hot pink shirt is literally what Grace is wearing in the cover photo of the Girls Talk Money podcast cover. Cracks me up every single time because I'm like, you're literally sitting here saying that you didn't feel confident in the shirt, which I thought the shirt looked great on you. And it matches our colors, which is awesome. But it's just like, so it is so empowering to kind of see like, okay, what works on me. Or I know for me online shopping, I will see a top that comes in a ton of different colors and I'll want to order it in a color, but I won't know which color. So then I default to black or brown. Just having that clarity and being like,
Yeah. And I noticed too, like when I wear green and when I wear like a peachy color, I feel really confident and I feel like it just lights up my face. But I'm like, there has to be more colors beyond that that would do the same thing. And if my whole closet was clothing that I felt that way in, like that I genuinely put on and I was like, I look good. Like this is making my skin look bright and my eyes look bright. I would be a whole nother woman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like my confidence would be so much stronger because I would genuinely just feel better in what I'm wearing. So it is like a little bit expensive. It's $350, but I mean, you get so much in it, but I'm like, this is an investment in like my confidence. And I feel like when you're more confident, you show up different, you perform better, you just like your energy shifts. So for me, I'm like, it's a worthwhile investment, but I plan to share it on social media and I will definitely keep you guys updated on the podcast. Like in our next weekly recap, I'll let you know how it goes. But
I can't wait.
I know. I'm excited. What's going on in your life, Erin?
Okay. Well, I have a few different things that I wanted to touch on in our little weekly recap. Well, first, I just wanted to let the cat out of the bag that this is the second time that we're filming this episode, this podcast episode that we're filming today. This is the second time we're doing it. Grace and I sat down for an hour last week and filmed the exact same episode. And then afterwards, our VA was editing the episode and my mic was cutting in and out so bad. And we realized it was actually the last three episodes that we filmed that I was having mic issues on. Now, Grace and I just invested in like pretty nice podcast microphones because we are like looking true to our setup, make the podcast sound look more official and like we know what we're doing here. And for some reason, my mic has just, since we got new microphones, my mic has just not been working. And we realized that the entire last week's episode just is like useless and we needed to refilm it, which is so disheartening. However, just trying to embody the idea that everything happens for a reason and maybe this episode will be a lot better since we're refilming it for a second time and maybe everyone will love this episode and it'll be our best performing episode. I don't know. But I was telling my boyfriend that I was having podcast microphone issues and it was a big like technology thing and we couldn't figure it out. And he was like, yep, that totally checks out. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, Erin, you don't even know how to work your TVs. which is so funny and so true. Like, I literally like make him turn my TVs on. I never use my TV like when he's not here because I like can't figure out how the one in my living room works. So all of that to say is like it totally checks out that like I can't figure out my podcast microphone and we're having so many technology issues related to the podcast because I'm very technologically challenged, I would say. But just some other things going on in my week. So I made a TikTok video about this last night, and I was saying that I've been having a lot of nightmares, like kind of over the last year about my dog, which is so funny. But literally like multiple nightmares a week I have about my dog Bella. And if you've been following me for a while, you probably know the whole like getting sued by my ex-boyfriend for my dog thing. And we had this big fight when we broke up about Bella and all of these things. And literally for the last year, I've been having multiple nightmares a week about Bella, either like getting taken away from me, or I always have nightmares that she like, I'm like running away from someone and like Bella's there like running beside me. And like, that's the plot of the nightmare. I don't know. It's like actually really sad.
But so scary.
I know, like it's like really sad when I think about it. But the strangest nightmare that I had so far happened this week, and I had a nightmare that Bella turned into a zombie. And it was like not that she was attacking me as a zombie, it was that she turned into a zombie and I was like, okay, well, like I have to say bye to my dog because she's a zombie now and we're gonna have to like let her down. Like, how sad is that?
I'm like speechless. I saw your video but this is the first obviously that we're like talking about this, but like that's kind of like, I don't know, that's crazy, like having
Grace
these nightmares,
like you should especially go see multiple a therapist. Times a week.
Yeah, no, I'm like, you should like speak to someone. I'm like, because I feel like there's definitely like an anxiety or like a fear of losing her that like manifests in your sleep.
No, that's 100%. And I feel like that's why I haven't talked to anyone about it, because I know that that's exactly where it comes from. Like, it comes from the fact that I had a traumatic experience with my dog. So I just kind of laugh about it, but I literally have like multiple
nightmares.
Like,
it's not funny. Yeah. Like, it's funny, but like, it's not funny at the same time. Cause like, it's like, no one wants to have nightmares multiple times a week. Aww, yeah. Poor Bella. So, and like, it's so funny cause like, Bella like has no idea, like, you know what I mean, she's just like happy-go-lucky. Have you seen those like memes of where people are like they're like, wow, I'm having the worst day ever, and their dog's like, and then it like swipes and it's a picture of their dog and it's like, great, thanks for sharing, anyways, I need to go to the bathroom, like let's like I'm actually having nightmares, and Bella's like, okay, so playtime, dog park.
Yeah, so we're going to play. Like, yeah, she has no idea. She's a sweet. Yeah, like none of the nightmares are ever about her like being mean or like attacking me or anything. It's always about like her and I are running away from someone and they like steal her or something,
oh my
or
God.
She turns into a zombie and I have to like let her down. It's actually really sad. So that's what's going on in my week.
Wow, you seem to be having a really interesting week.
But with that, I guess we can get right into the episode, because like you've said, everything else that's kind of been like top of mind has been kind of going into what we're going to talk about in our checking in on our 2024 goals episode, which we'll be talking about today. So let's get into it. We kind of split this up into three different kind of sections, I guess, because obviously this is the Girls Talk Money podcast. We want to talk all about like money goals as well. We're going to save that for the second half of the episode, but we wanted to talk about life goals and career goals as well. So Grace, do you want to kick us off kind of talking about maybe life goals that you set at the beginning of the year? What has changed? What you've accomplished? What you want to focus on in Q2? Anything like that?
Yeah, I think in terms of like the life goal stuff, I am doing this 1-year experiment, which I feel like I've talked about so many times. But it's like it's a year long experiment. So obviously it's top of mind for me all the time throughout this entire year. And I'm going to keep talking about it. So if you're listening to me and you're like, shut up, I'm so sorry. I'm going to keep yapping about it. But truly, it's been really motivating to have like a framework to come back to when making all of my decisions. And we talked about this in the first time that we filmed this, but I've realized when it comes to goal setting that I'm not someone who is like, okay, here's my goal for the year. I want to go to the gym 5 times a week and I want to do that all year. Or like, I'm not super metric based. I'm more thinking about the feeling, like, how do I want to feel throughout this year? How do I want to feel when I think about my finances? How do I want to feel when I think about my health and my career and things like that? So when I set the goals at the beginning of the year, I think I was focusing a little bit more on metrics or on outcomes rather than just feelings. And I've realized in Q1 that like doesn't really work for me. Like, it doesn't motivate me to think about a specific, like, oh, I want to make X dollars or something like that. So in the life kind of category, my main like overarching goal was to focus more on investing in myself. Oh my God, my brain just like buffered. But focus more on investing in myself and my habits and my own happiness. And I think I thought this was going to go a certain way, and it definitely hasn't. Like, I have become really protective of my own peace and my own energy. And that has been an interesting shift to see in Q1. For example, I decided to delete dating apps and just take a pause on that because I had gone on a few dates with a couple of people this year, and literally all of them ended in that person. Well, there were multiple people, not multiple. That makes it sound like I was like going on a date every week, but like, which is fine. If you want to date every week, you live your best life, but I can't do that. But with the people I had been seeing, it all ended with them unfortunately being very disrespectful or kind of conveying like weird intentions. Like, I would have people who would ask about my career, and I would say, oh, I work in marketing. And then, you know, we'd have more conversations. They would find out I do social media, and then they would literally say like, oh, you must make so much money. And then I was like, whoa, why are you bringing that up? Like, it kind of, yeah, like, no. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. It happened twice, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because then I was like, like, that's fine. I don't mind. I'll have the salary conversation. That it doesn't bother me at all. But when the way it came up and the way it was worded in both situations, yeah. I was like, okay, wait. So I'm like, now I like, what are your goals in like seeing someone and dating someone? You know what I mean? It just made me feel,
wait, that's a little so weird. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of weird. So I ultimately decided, and that was just one, you know, sliver. There were several other like disrespectful things, unfortunately, like making fun of the way that I talk or like the words that I use or making fun of medications that I'm on or medications that I have been on. And I just, yeah, I know. I didn't go into the details in the video I posted on social media, but I feel like this is a little safe community, so that's why I'm sharing. But just like crazy stuff like that. And I, yeah, no, exactly. So I was just like, it was almost like a fever dream. I was saying to my therapist, I'm like, what? Like, literally, how do I attract these people? Like, I don't get it. So I decided to put a pause on dating and just delete all dating apps and just not like go on dates with anyone right now. And in an effort to protect my peace. And if you had asked me at the beginning of the year what I thought this goal of investing more in myself was going to look like, I would not have said or thought that it was going to be focused on protecting my peace and that cutting out dating was going to be part of that. But I'm just realizing, like, I only have so much energy in a day and in a week, and I can't just like go forever. And I do want to be able to give energy to myself. So if I'm going on dates with people or even hanging out with like friends, or I get asked to get on mentoring calls with people like all the time and just give people free advice. And I used to say yes and everything, but I realized over time, I'm just saying yes to so many things. And ultimately, I feel like a lot of it ends up being an energy suck. And then I don't have enough energy to invest on myself. Like, I just don't have like the energy to just like meditate at the end of the day or to like go to a workout class. Like, I just feel so like depleted. So yeah, at the beginning of the year, I think I set that overarching goal to invest more in myself, and it's panned out a lot differently than I thought it would, but it's like in the best way. Like, I truly do feel like I am investing more in myself. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, I've been like going to the gym more and prioritizing like hanging out with my friends and seeing them more. And I'm like working a little bit less and prioritizing making my space feel like home. And all of that, I think, has helped in that overarching goal of investing more in myself.
Yeah, I love that you allowed the goal to kind of be fluid, because I remember having this conversation with you at the beginning of the year, and you were kind of framing it as not feeling guilty for spending more money on yourself and investing in yourself that way. But all of the things that you just listed are free. You didn't have to spend more money to delete dating apps or to, you had to buy a gym membership. You don't have to spend more money to go on long walks or to go to the gym every day or to meditate at the end of the day or journal more.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the year, that wasn't really like the intention behind the goal that you set, but you're still accomplishing the outcome just in a different way. So I love that. And you said it perfectly. We only have so much energy throughout the day. So if we're wasting it on boys that are going to ask us stupid questions like that,
I've just like entered the era of like come correct or don't come at all, you know, like I'm just like I just feel like the tomfoolery, the BS, the random shiz that has happened so far in Q1 in terms of like the dating space, no, I'm just like, you know what? No, protect your peace, queen. But I will say too, on the, like the money side of things, which we'll talk about more when we get into the money category, but I have spent more on myself, like in terms of, you know, I did get a gym membership and my gym membership is $79 a month and that's not cheap. My previous gym was $40 a month. I like am going to get a color analysis and spending the money on that. And I'm going through my closet and I will buy things for my closet because I just feel like I want to be the happiest, like most confident, secure person I can be. And I'm also in a chapter of my life, not just this year, but the past couple of years, that when I see a problem, I'm no longer sitting and just like, woe is me. I'm like, no, we're going to start looking for solutions. Like if I don't feel confident or if I feel exhausted by dating or whatever, like let's not sit here and be like, ugh, like I hate how I look in this. I don't feel confident. All these people are asking me out on dates and I don't want to go. No, like find a solution. Like, okay, we're going to go through the closet. We're going to get a color analysis. We're going to buy some new clothes so that we feel different. We're going to learn our body shape. We're going to, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to do that. We're going to delete the dating apps. Like, I don't know, looking for solutions also, I feel like is just like, I'm in an era of taking action and I feel like that's important. But what about your life goals? Like, What's your update?
I said at the beginning of 2024 that kind of my overarching goal, and I know this is only the life goals section, but kind of my overarching goal for the entire year is to what I call it, enter my it girl era. Because I just said like, and it all comes back to what you just said, becoming the happiest, healthiest, most confident version of myself. And I think that that trickles into some of the career stuff and some of the money stuff that we'll talk about in those sections as well. Because like you said, when you are the most confident version of yourself, when you are the happiest, that kind of that is what matters in terms of how you show up in your career and in your financial goals and all of those different things. So I did set some like pretty hard and fast goals around like kind of entering my it girl era, but they were all around like just making small little improvements in my life that would allow me to kind of do this. And I will say that the biggest thing, I have definitely been focusing on this in Q1 for sure. There are still some things that I need to improve on or like still progress to be made for sure. But I will say that I have made a lot of progress in Q1 in a couple of different areas. The first thing I have noticed such a big improvement in my life from, and it is getting ready every single day. I look at like, and this is not just because I do social media and like get on camera almost every single day, not that at all, but I do look back from photos and videos, not so much photos, but I guess just like videos on my TikTok and my Instagram, where I would be like filming a video and I'm in sweatpants, my hair is not done, I have no makeup on, like just like not put together at all, which is totally fine. But I think back to 2023 and how I spent 75 to 80% of the year doing that. And I just didn't feel confident. I didn't feel confident going through my day. I'm not as productive when I don't get ready throughout the day. So in 2024, I've made that a huge priority. And it doesn't take that much time. Like I'm still sitting in sweatpants, but I like put myself together a little bit. I have some makeup on. I like ran a little curling brush kind of thing throughout my hair. So it doesn't take that much time, but I feel so much better because I just spend a little bit of time getting ready throughout the day.
I feel like that makes like such a big difference for some people. Like I'm one of the people who I don't need to really like get ready like every day, like I will just, I don't really wear makeup every day, and I'll just like throw my hair back and stuff because I don't find it makes a difference. But I know a lot of people say that it does make a big difference. One thing I'll say that like helps me too, if you're, because I have like sensitive skin, so that's why I don't wear makeup every day, because I feel like I'm gonna end up freaking out if I do. But sometimes putting on actual shoes, like a pair of sneakers or something, and like working in a pair of sneakers makes me so much more productive. I don't know what it is about like being like, I don't know, like not having like my slippers on, putting real shoes on, but I feel like it does, like for some people it makes such a big difference to take the time to put yourself together in the morning. And yeah, then when you feel more confident too, I feel like it does change like the energy that you're showing up with.
Yeah, I love the shoes tip. I have also found that if I put on kind of like an active wear set as opposed to a lounge wear set, I'm way more productive. And I think the reason is I do like take walks throughout the day, mainly just because of Bella. But if I'm wearing an active wear set, especially when it's nice outside or like nice-ish, if it's like pouring down rain, I'm not gonna like sit in here in an active set, but if I have an active wear set on, I want to go take those little mini walks throughout the day, mm-hmm. because I'm already kind of dressed appropriately for it, and then that makes me a lot more productive. Taking those little breaks, like getting outside, going and clearing my head for 10 minutes, makes me so much more productive. So that's a good tip too. But the second thing that I put here in my life goals section was, and I don't know if this is a goal that I really intently set around the time that we filmed the New Year's episode. I don't know if I talked about this, but towards the end of 2023, I was starting to feel so burnt out, and not from a career perspective, but burnt out just like in general. Everything just felt hard to me. I was getting really burnt out and like overwhelmed about different things that like just should not make me feel that way or shouldn't give me anxiety. And it all came down to the fact that I felt like everything around me was a total disaster. And what I mean by, I think there's a couple of things that kind of go into this. I am inherently not a clean person, not a tidy person. I honestly, like, my apartment is a disaster most of the time. So I think that was stressing me out a lot. And then the other thing is that I'm really bad about keeping up with small little life admin tasks. How do I even want to like what example do I want to give of this? Okay, so like taxes or scheduling appointments, just random thing, making a return, little things like that that are on my to-do list that don't necessarily have to do with work or anything like that, just little life admin things. So bad at keeping up with them until my to-do list in my brain is so long and everything just stresses me out. So I think those two things were just really starting to make me feel burnt out. I did a series on my TikTok probably like around November called 30 days of doing things that I don't want to be doing. And every day I filmed a video of me doing something like that, my small little life admin or cleaning my apartment or just little things like that. And so many people related to it. So I will say two things that have significantly helped with that. And I feel exponentially better. In 2024, I started implementing what I call monthly admin days. And I know not everyone is going to be able to do it exactly the way that I do it, depending on your work situation. But literally the last day of the month, I usually do the last like business day. I don't typically do them on weekends. I will clear my entire calendar, and it doesn't end up taking me the entire day, but I will clear my entire calendar of like meetings and things like that. And I will go to a coffee shop and I have a list of all of the life admin things that I need to get done. So for example, Friday is the end of March and I'm going to a coffee shop and I am going to do my taxes because I've been procrastinating that so bad. I have a couple of returns I need to make. There's like a couple of other things on my list, but just throughout the month, I'll go in and I'll make that list and I'm like, I will get to that in my admin day. And it has made me feel so much better.
I love that you have a day to get all of it done. I have a Notion planner, and like I have a list in there that I call my lingering to-dos. And so whenever I think of one of those like to-do items that I'm like, nah, I'll get to that later, I go and I put it on that list and I mark how long I think it's going to take me as well. So then if I have like a bit of downtime where I'm like, I'm kind of bored, I'm like, I go to my lingering to-do list and I'm like, what can I do? And there are so many things on there, but I will say some of it, I like, it's been there for months and I haven't gotten to because I just like can't be bothered. So I feel like having a day to just like sit down and like check a lot of things off is really smart. Even if it is a weekend day where you take like a Sunday morning for 4 hours and you go and you get it done, like I feel like people would be surprised how much you can actually crank out, especially when it's just some of these like small things that you really just need to like put on a list and just like, okay, we're just going to go try to bang this out in one day.
Yeah, I used to have the lingering to-do list too. I didn't call it that, but it's something similar. And my problem is that I would never actually get to the items on the list. And then the list would just stress me out when it's like 20 items long and I didn't get to any of it. So I definitely feel like having the day, and it never takes me even 4 hours. I'll go to a coffee shop for like 2.5 to 3 hours and get absolutely everything done and feel so accomplished. But the other thing on the cleaning aspect, because my apartment, I've been doing a lot better of keeping it organized in 2024. It's still not perfect, but we're making progress. But I have started implementing what I call Friday resets, which again, like depending on your work schedule, definitely alter this. I've seen people do it on Thursday nights, which I also think could be a really good option. But Friday afternoons, like when I'm done with work, so maybe like 3:30 p.m., I'll spend an hour to an hour and a half cleaning my apartment, and going into the weekend with a clean space is literally the best thing ever. I've never been a Sunday reset girl because I feel like by Sunday, I just want to prep for the next week. I don't really want to spend Sunday cleaning up last week's mess, but doing it on Friday and then going into the weekend has been such a game changer for that.
I know it's a lot of people like struggle with keeping their apartment clean. I'm one of the people who, when something's like out of order, it really irritates me. Like I had like a bunch of receipts on my counter last night and I was like, this is really stressing me out, I can't do it. So I like had to roll them and throw away the extras because like the receipts were bothering me. But like I feel like that's, I don't know, I feel like that's why this whole Sunday reset thing got developed, is because people were like, I can't keep up with cleaning, especially when like we both have 2-bedroom apartments. It is so much space to keep clean, and I can't even imagine doing it with a dog. Like, oh my goodness. Because I just feel like the cleaning, you need so much more, you know? Like, you gotta vacuum and wipe everything down and like...
100%. But we aren't even there yet, I will say. Like, cleaning is one aspect, but tidying is the other aspect. And you can't clean until you tidy. And I'm just, like, not tidy.
That's true.
And this is so funny because if you haven't listened to our Human Design episode that just came out this week, it's the episode before this episode that's coming out. We talked all about human design, and Grace and I on the pattern app, I remember our pattern said that we would be good roommates one time. We would not be good roommates at all.
No.
Because Grace would be so mad at me for how untidy I am. And I'm trying to develop better habits around this. I really am, but I'm trying to develop the habits of like, okay, instead of just putting something down, like actually put it away. Don't just like put it on the floor. Like put it in its place.
I feel like even when we've stayed in hotels together, because Erin and I have only met in person like 4 times, I think at this point, I feel like even when we've stayed in hotels, like your little corner ends up like there's just like stuff, or like it's just like, not that I'm like the most neat when I'm traveling, because like when you're living out of a suitcase, like it's obviously things are going to be a little bit messy. I'm not someone who like unloads my clothes into the dresser in the hotel room, but I feel like it's just, I've noticed, you know, but it's not like we wouldn't be good roommates. We wouldn't.
No,
like,
and that's fine.
I don't think I would be a good roommate with, like, I don't want to go back to being a roommate for that reason. I really like my space being clean and tidy, and just because for me, it becomes like a mental thing. Like if stuff is all over the place, it becomes really hard for me to focus. So I feel like I couldn't do it. But I'm proud of you for tidying and like making it a routine.
We're trying to make it a routine. But I will say for Q2, like looking ahead to Q2, some things that I want to do to like continue to make progress in this aspect. Some goals that I set for myself for Q2 and the life goals are, I want to read more in Q2. I want to journal more in Q2. And then the third one is just kind of fun. I set the goal for myself in Q1 and just like did not make any progress towards it. I want to be able to do 3 pull-ups in the gym, which is so random, I feel like. But I have really been in the same mentality with the gym that you've been in lately. We're just like not in the gym for aesthetics. We're in the gym for ourselves. And I think setting a goal related to the gym that doesn't have to do with aesthetics is really good for me. With the whole pull-ups thing, pull-ups are hard. I'll do like assisted pull-ups, but I'm really intimidated by attempting pull-ups in the gym, like in front of everybody, because I know I can't do them, you know? And the pull-up bar in my gym is literally in front of everyone, but I need to get over that and just like start doing them, because assisted pull-ups and non-assisted pull-ups are not the same thing. And I'm never going to be able to do 3 unassisted pull-ups if I keep doing them assisted.
back when I went to my old gym, and then we'll move on to the career section, but it's just a funny thing. You know when like it almost feels like the universe is like conspiring against you? I wanted to try to learn how to do pull-ups as well. And we didn't have like an assisted pull-up machine at my gym, but I saw these videos of like when you put the bands around the little mm-hmm. pull-up thingy, that's so technical, but you put the bands around it and then you like move your leg into the band. So it's like an assisted pull-up, but it's like mirroring a more normal like pull-up as opposed to the assisted pull-up machine. Well, so I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm like working myself up for the confidence because this also, the pull-up bar is literally like in the middle of the gym so everyone can see you. I go onto social media that day and there's a video of a girl who she got her foot stuck in the band and her foot, she was trying so hard to get out. She couldn't get out of the band and she's hanging there and her foot comes out. The band slips from behind her heel and smacks her like right in the butt. Like it snaps back. And I was just like, you know what? God, this isn't what I needed in me. Like I was really trying to muster up the courage. We didn't have to put that on my For You page. Like we could have done without it. And ever since then, I was like so terrified to try it because I'm like, I don't know. Wait, I feel like I would have to try it with a friend there.
Like, also, not to be, but Grace, you're like what, 5'2 or 5'3?
I'm 5'3.
The pull-up bar at my gym is so high. Like I have to jump because it's on top of the cable machine. So I literally have to jump. So how would you have...
I would need a bench. I would need a bench and then I would have to hop off of said bench. And I also, what's crazy is after I saw that video, this is so besides the point, but I had a dream that, which is so silly, but you could just tell my anxiety was eating me alive at this stage of my life. This was a couple years ago. I had a dream that I went to attempt this, okay? And one of the men at the gym came up and took the bench away, thinking I like wasn't using it. While I was up there. And then I was just up there and I couldn't get down. and I had to ask someone for help to help literally physically lift me down. Needless to say, I never attempted the pull-up because I felt like there were several signs not to. But I get it. It's like putting yourself out there and like trying something new in the gym when there's all these people around and no one's really paying attention, but you feel like they're paying attention. And it's just like you're having to learn how to do something new and you feel like you might not do it well. You might fail. It is very nerve-wracking. So we'll have to check in at the beginning of Q3 and see how many pull-ups you can do. Because I have faith in you. I really do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, let's move into the career goals section. Do you have anything here that you set at the beginning of the year? Kind of like what's changed? Talk through that.
I don't really know. Well, I guess my brain's going back and forth right now. I think one of my career goals was to kind of focus more on making work fun. I've always enjoyed my work because I get to choose what I want to do and what I don't want to do. But I got to a point, particularly with content creation, where I was posting just personal finance content and it really didn't feel authentic to me. Personal finance is an aspect of my life, but it's not everything. And if you listen to the Human Design episode that we had with our guest, Taryn, this is like so just like accurate for me, where I do want to help people kind of experience wealth, but I think that to me, wealth is so many different things. Like, are you healthy? Are you happy? Do you genuinely feel excited when you wake up in the morning, or are you dreading the day ahead of you? But also the financial side, like the actual, like how to make more money and save more money and invest wisely and things like that. But I was at a point where I was just posting personal finance content and it felt so inauthentic. I was running out of ideas. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And for just like context, pivoting your content and changing your niche entirely is it's a gamble. And in the beginning, it's very, very common for your content to absolutely just not perform. So I started working with a business coach last year and she was a godsend because she really helped me just like stay on track and not get so in my head that I didn't follow through. But I pivoted my content into more of a lifestyle approach and I'm sharing my journey now becoming the happiest, healthiest, hottest, and richest version of me is what I say. and it's been really rewarding. Like my content is finally performing well, but it also, when I first started, my content was tanking, like tanking. If I got like 300 views on a video, I was like celebrating. I was actually crying. I wasn't celebrating, but like that was a win, you know, because like that was as high as my, you know, content was getting viewed at that point. And it's very like demoralizing to feel like you really want to like expand into something and you can't, and like there's outside sources kind of preventing you. So this year, one of my like career goals was to just like have fun with it and just like trust the process. And it has been working. Like I have gotten offers from brands that I have been using my entire life. I don't think I can talk about one of the campaigns yet, but like I've literally used one of these products. I mean, I've used the brand forever. Like I don't think we've ever used another brand of this type of product in my house. And I love the product. It's such a lifestyle product that I'm like, this is so exciting. I would have never gotten this offer if I was just doing finance content. And this is the kind of content that I want to create. Like I'm really excited about it. I'm getting messages from people who are like telling me that they love my, you know, like reinventing my style series, and that it's really making them feel empowered to like go through their closets and really like take their confidence seriously. And I'm sharing more about my business and how I make money freelancing. And now people are like, I'm getting messages also, people being like, this is giving me hope that like my career goals are actually a possibility. And that is so, so much more fulfilling to me than the financial education I was doing before. So that was like my main kind of career goal, I will say. And this is something that I think some people will probably relate to this, like people who are also very ambitious. But I was telling Erin this before we started filming. I don't think that I have had a period in my life where I was not focused on a goal or working towards a specific thing since I was 10. And I'm 25 for reference. Like when I was in middle school, I was focused on, like really focused on participating in extracurriculars and getting good grades because I knew I wanted to go to a high school I had to apply into, and like not everyone was accepted. And when I was in high school, I was so focused on like, again, making sure I hit these metrics with my grades and participating in sports. And I always had something in sports I was working towards. Like I was always trying to get better at a certain skill or in extracurriculars. I was like always campaigning for different positions and like always working towards something and then working towards college. And then same thing with college. Like I'm, you know, always working towards something. And I've gotten to this point in my career right now where I literally have no idea what is next. I have no idea. I know I want to probably start another business. I have no idea what I want that to be. I don't have a specific goal I'm working towards on content creation. I don't feel pressured to like hit a certain number of followers. I don't feel pressured to, yeah, like hit any sort of like another metric. And it is so weird, like not having something to work towards, but I feel like I'm just being called to just be, like just exist and live and just like just be and chill where I'm at right now. And it feels so weird, but I also feel like it is a sign that God has something coming for me and that I need this like time period to like kind of rest up and rejuvenate before I enter that next phase of my life, whatever is coming for me. And that has been interesting to work through because it's new, but it's also been really exciting. And so I don't know, that's kind of where I've been with my career. I think coming into the year, I was like thinking about, okay, I want to hit this number of followers and grow to this and do that and hit these like financial goals and all this. And now I'm just kind of like, no, I kind of just want to be and like enjoy this time period where there's like nothing, yeah, like nothing I have to work towards. Like I can just sit and enjoy where I'm at and be content with living in the moment.
I love that. I will say with the podcast as well, that's kind of how I've been thinking about it because I know, so Grace and I just started Girls Talk Money in November. So this is a very new kind of business venture for us. But I think we've both been kind of taking that mindset with the podcast too. It's like, yes, we obviously want to grow. We obviously want to hit X, Y, and Z goals. But we're just kind of focused on enjoying the process and enjoying coming on to here and talking to you guys once a week and talking about the topics that excite us and not feeling pressured to, you know, make a budgeting episode just because we feel like we should make a budgeting episode or something like that. We just coming on here and talking about what feels authentic to us and what we're being called to talk about. And through that, I think the outcomes will come when they're supposed to, but just trying to enjoy it and have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your career goal updates?
So I will say, I don't know how much I talked about this in our New Year's goals episode in terms of definitive career goals, like the outcomes, right? How many followers, how much money I want to make in my business, all of those things. But I will say I set really big goals for 2024 when it comes to career. And I think looking back, that came from a couple of places. First, Q4 was really big for me in 2023. I quit my full-time job in August of 2023, and then Q4 obviously started in like October, and Q4 was huge. So many more opportunities. The income was there. Everything like went right. And that was kind of my first full quarter of doing this full time that I was kind of like, okay, this is huge. So I set my goals for 2024 with the standards of Q4 kind of in place. But if you work in marketing, you know that Q4 is a big time for kind of everyone because brands have so much in their marketing budgets. There's so many things going on that contribute to, and in the personal finance space, because everyone wants to set up their money for the new year and they're buying the budget templates and all of the things. So it was really big for me. And I set my 2024 goals with that being the standard. And I think I put a lot of unnecessary pressure on myself to kind of live up to those Q4 standards, if that makes sense. And just kind of going into 2024, like going into Q1, I kind of realized that a lot of that pressure I was putting on myself came from a place of insecurity and a place of me feeling imposter syndrome for the success that I found. I saw a creator post about this the other day, and she was saying that one thing that she's really struggling with is she always feels like this is going to be the month that the income goes away or the audience goes away, her account gets deleted, everything like that. And I think regardless of what profession you're in, if you have variable income or if you are in any type of like self-employed entrepreneurship journey, you always feel that way. You know, you always feel like, okay, it's been working so far, but it's probably not going to continue working moving forward. So I was putting all of that pressure on myself to do the most, start the new thing, start a new business, like increase my income streams, all of those things, because I felt like this was all going to disappear on me. And just kind of taking a step back and having that for what moment of like, why am I putting all of this pressure on myself? If I do half of what I did in Q4 and Q1, that's still amazing. I don't need to constantly do more and make more and hit an outrageous income goal in 2024. Like, I'm literally still 24 years old and it's fine. And I'm kind of trying to embody that. Let's just be for a second and see what opportunities come my way and like trust my intuition on which path I should follow.
Yeah, I will say in the beginning of when I started my business, I was also always afraid of it going away. But now that I'm a couple years into being fully self-employed, I have like a sense of peace knowing that. And I share this because I think that you're a very smart and talented entrepreneur and just like a smart like individual. Like, you're not dumb, you know what I mean? And I think but like, I had to kind of remind myself, I'm like, I'm not stupid. Like I'm careful with my money and I'm not like, oh my God, I just had such a big quarter, I'm going to go like blow all of it. Like, I'm being smart about that. You have been really smart about that. You always think about like different ways to make money, and you know, you have so much knowledge that it's like, if one thing were to like one income stream goes out, there's another one, like you can create another one like instantly just with the knowledge that you have. But also I had to remind myself that if I see things going downhill, I am smart enough to recognize the signs early on. Like, I'm not going to be like, well, this is my 6th month of making $0. I should probably do something about that. Like, after the first month, I'm going to be like, okay, like, what can I do next month going forward that allows me to at least have something coming in? Or how can I like add more reoccurring revenue? And like, you would be the same way, you know? So it's like that fear of everything being taken away or something going away, you would recognize the signs so early on that, you know what I mean? You would, yeah, change course. And that made me realize when I kind of framed it that way for myself, I was like, is there a chance that, you know, everything crumbles before me? Yes. But the actual chances of that happening is so, so, so small. And the chances of everything going right is actually far larger. And even in the event that things do go south, I know that like I would be capable of recognizing the signs or changing course before I actually hit that rock bottom, really, really small percentage, you know, event.
Chance, yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, I feel like that's a good way to think about it. But I get it, because it's hard, because it does feel like everything's on you when you're an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and you like you're responsible for it all. And as with what we do and working in marketing, you are relying on certain platforms to be available and algorithms. And there's a lot that's out of your control. So it's hard when you can't control everything, feeling like these external sources could impact whether or not you have a job. Next
Definitely. One. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. But let's move on to the money goals section, because that's the last of our three goals that we wanted to talk about. What money goals did you set for yourself at the beginning of the year, and how are they going?
So my big financial goals were to 2x my income, wipe out the remaining $20,000 I had a student loan debt, save for a car, and start saving for a future down payment on a home. And going back to what I said at the beginning of this episode, I was so like metric focused, and I'm not focused on the metrics anymore. I really am focused on the feelings. And I also am in such a good place with my faith that I'm just like, if something's meant to happen, all of the factors are going to align, like everything's going to be there. So when it comes to like doubling my income, I'm not really putting the pressure on myself to like to be there, I guess, but I'm also not someone who walks back my goals. Like if I wanted to make a certain amount of, like just say I wanted to make 60K or something, I'm not someone who's going to be like, okay, that means I need to make 5,000 each month. And if I haven't made 5,000 each month, I am not on track. Like I'm not someone who walks that back, because, you know, it like breaks down my goals that way, because especially as an entrepreneur, like money can just come in like whenever. So I don't necessarily, like I don't have a number in the back of my head anymore, and I'm not tracking my progress towards a bigger number. So that's kind of how that's panned out over Q1. I'm focused on the income side, like not really basing what I say yes to based on the income, like, which is obviously a privilege to be able to do, but I'm like, does this excite me? Like, am I excited to take that work on? Does it sound fun? Yes. Okay, cool. Like, then we can talk, we can think about the money side of things, but I'm not putting that pressure to think about the number in the back of my head. When it comes to wiping out my student loan debt, I still definitely want to get rid of it. I think I have like roughly 16,000 left. So I'm on track to pay it off this year. I'm a little under off track, a little under. How do I say that? I'm not like
a little under on track.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I think if I was technically going to like break it down, I would have needed to pay off like 5,000 in Q1, and I think I've done like 4,000 or 4,500. So I'm not like fully on track. But again, money comes in so differently. Like I have a bunch of money set aside for taxes, and I don't expect to owe all of it. So whatever is left, I'm probably going to do a lump sum payment on my debt, and that would knock out several thousand dollars from my, you know, from my loan balance. But I definitely do want to get rid of it, but I'm less focused on like seeing the zero on my account and more focused on how am I going to feel when I'm debt free? Like I'm putting a lot of money onto my debt every month. What am I going to get to do with that money? And how exciting is that? And that's what I'm focused on, because energetically, I think that also helps me just attract more money. And then saving for a car, same thing. I am setting aside money for it, but I am also trusting that money will flow in. And if my car does shit the bed, if she makes her exit, which I'm really hoping she doesn't, I hope that it will last, she'll last a couple more years. I'll be fine. I think I might have mentioned this in a previous episode, or maybe it was when we filmed this episode before, but I ended up having to get both front and rear brakes on my car and get my struts redone. And so getting all of that work done on my car, I asked the mechanic, I was like, do you think, knowing like what my car looks like inside and out, that it will last long, like a longer time? And I did get a new engine put in at 80,000 miles, and it has 150 now, so it's only 70,000 miles on the engine. They were like, this, you have a Toyota, like you're going to be able to drive it until it's literally falling apart. And I think before, when some of these issues came up with my car, I was deciding whether or not I wanted to like buy a new car or whether I wanted to put the money into the car. And that's why I started saving for a car. But now that all this has happened, I'm just realizing that I don't need to save as heavily for a car. So my goals kind of shifted a little bit there. And saving for a down payment on a home, I haven't set a single dollar aside for a home. I think I felt pressure at the beginning of the year to like work towards the next thing. Like I was like, okay, I just got an apartment. Now I need to be thinking about the house I'm going to buy down the line. But the reality is, I know I don't want to live in Massachusetts forever. I want to move somewhere else. And I don't necessarily think it would be wise to like buy a house in a city I've never lived in before in the event that I just dislike it or I decide I want to come back home or whatever. So I might rent again and like so freaking be it. You know what I mean? I feel like there's this pressure, especially in the finance space online, where it's like invest in real estate, get real estate, whatever. And I'm like, no, like I don't want to like, I don't know. I don't want to cut the lawn. I don't want to rake my leaves. I don't want to like worry about the roof and like whether the roof is, I don't know. It's not a priority to me at this moment in time, especially not knowing where I want to live and being able to like, I can see myself living in a few more places before I really settle down. So I'm not setting aside anything, honestly, for a house. Maybe eventually I will, but I haven't put a single dollar aside if I'm being real. So
yeah. I love that. I think we're all just like so indecisive in our 20s and our goals can definitely adapt as like we adapt and our thoughts adapt. So I think that's totally fine.
Yeah. What's your financial goal update?
So I will say a lot of mine has to do with kind of that same thing, the whole like home down payment savings versus investing. 2023 was all about debt pay down for me. And I became totally debt free by the end of 2023, which was my huge goal. I was so happy that I accomplished that. Thank you. I feel like that's you this year, which is really exciting.
I'm clapping. So now going for people listening to just the audio, I was clapping for reference.
But quietly.
Yeah.
So 2024, when we had our New Year's episode, I said that 2024 was going to be all about saving for a home down payment. And unlike you, I am still doing that. I'm still prioritizing it. I will say it's not my one and only financial priority for 2024. I still really want to make investing a priority because I don't know what my home ownership journey is going to look like. And I think that's the tricky part about saving for a home in your 20s is I don't know for sure if next year home ownership is going to be the right move for me. I feel like my opinion on that changes so much. And I feel like my situation is always changing so much that I have no idea what my life is going to look like next year. I kind of am at a point where, you know, like you, I am making that debate on whether or not next year I want to stay in Pittsburgh. And right now it's kind of looking like it makes the most sense for me to stay in Pittsburgh. I don't really have a location that I'm really being drawn to outside of Pittsburgh. And I love that Pittsburgh is so affordable. I just really love it. And I think it would be a really hard pill to swallow for me to go move to a city where everything is so much more expensive. And I've gotten used to a certain quality of life in Pittsburgh that I'm not going to be able to afford in another city. So I'm kind of sitting here being like, well, if I am in Pittsburgh next year, you know, what does that look like? Right now, I'm living in the suburbs. And I do think that next year, I might want to live back in the city. And what does that look like? You know, am I going to go spend $3,000 a month on rent or am I going to look for a place to buy? And I don't know the answer to that, but I want to be prepared regardless. So I am putting money aside to save for a home down payment just in case that's like what my life path takes me in 2025.
Yeah. It's such a double-edged sword. I don't know if that's the right expression, but it's tricky when you're saving for a house because it's like you do need to start saving early because it is such a large amount that you usually need to put down. But at the same time, you don't know like how much house like you're going to want or the exact house you're going to buy or where it will be or
interest rates are going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially when you have a longer time horizon. Like I thought maybe I would see myself buying a house next year and maybe I will. And if I do, I just trust that like the money will come and I'll have it and it'll be fine. But because I feel like what's meant to be is always going to be. But I feel like when you are saving with such a long time horizon, things will look so different 5 years from now that it's like, or whether you're buying a house like with someone else or by yourself or like, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But you do want to start saving early, but you just like have, it's less like concrete. Like if you're saving for a car, you can be like, okay, I want to save $30,000 by such and such date, but for a home down payment, you can say the same thing. I want to say 50K by this day or whatever, but then God forbid the market looks different and now you like don't have enough or like whatever it is. I don't know. I feel like it gets kind of tricky.
100%. So yeah, it's still like kind of a top of goal mind, but definitely not my only goal. Like I said, I am still trying to prioritize investing. And I feel like my mindset around this has shifted a lot over the past 5 or 6 months as well. I remember in our Finding Balance episode, which was actually the first episode that we filmed of this podcast, which is so crazy. That feels like forever ago. But in that episode, mm-hmm. Grace and I were talking about investing and we were kind of talking about, you know, like right out of college or right when we started investing, our mindset around it was let's go balls to the wall with investing and invest every single dollar that we have because we want to retire early and like all of these things. And, you know, in that episode, we were just kind of saying like, for what? Like kind of back to that, like for what? Because we don't want to retire early and sit on a beach when we're 35, 40 years old. Like that's not the goal. We do trust that we're going to continue to make a lot of money in our businesses and our jobs and our careers. So we didn't feel that pressure to continue to invest every single dollar. However, I feel like over the past couple of months, I've definitely been prioritizing investing, not because of that, but more so because I started investing to begin with because I wanted more control, more options out of my life. And I'm sort of coming back to that point. You know, I want to invest as not as much as possible because I do have other financial goals, but invest a good amount of money so that in a couple of years, I do feel like I have a lot of options, a lot of control. You know, if I want to take 6 months completely off of work to go travel the world, or if I want to take a year off to write a book, what does that look like? If I'm not making any money, where does the money come from? I want to make sure that I have a good enough investment portfolio and nest egg kind of built up to take that time and give myself options and control over my life. So that's been my viewpoint on it. I'm not like doing anything crazy. It's just kind of coming back to again, like, why did I start investing in the first place and still making it a priority and a financial goal in 2024?
Yeah, I feel like it all comes back to like the freedom of choice. Like mm-hmm. everyone wants to be able to decide, like no one wants to live in a certain place because they have to. They want to live there because that's where they want to live. Or no one wants to work a job because they have to. They want to work a job because they actually enjoy it. And they, you know what I mean? Like you want that choice. I feel like in that balance episode, for me, it was like a, how can I invest for the future while also still making sure that I'm living my life in the now? Because I think especially in the finance niche, you see so much content on frugality and about, oh, like live with 6 roommates and eat rice and beans and, you know, like save every penny and don't buy new and just all of that type of stuff. Like spend as little as possible and invest every single extra penny. And I do think if you are working with like a lower salary or maybe you're like a grad student and you like only have a part-time job at the time where, you know, there's different circumstances, I think, where it makes sense to focus on frugality in the name of having a little bit more to invest with. But I feel like there has to be a balance. Like I would hate my life if I was being as frugal as some of the content that I see online. And that's personally like for me, you know, just in the name of investing, because I also, which this is something I feel like that kind of connects to this and something I talked about in social media recently, is that my dad just retired and he's worked for, it's probably been about 50 years at this point. And I'm like, I want him to enjoy his retirement, but it's also made me realize that I do not want to start living when I retire. Like I want to, because I do see myself working for a long time. I mean, I want there to be moments where I am just like living, like if I want to go and work from Bali for 3 months and like, you know, I can do that because I can bring my laptop. Like I want to be able to have that. And that does take having a nest egg and having like a money there, but it also takes having money available now that you can actually spend on like the Airbnb or spend on, you know what I mean? That type of stuff. Or being able to say yes to like a vacation. My friend just invited me to go on his family's vacation in June to Aruba. And I'm like, oh my God, like that is going to be so fun. And I, as like a thank you, because they're paying for the hotel and they're paying for most of the meals, I'm debating, like, I might book a photographer and have to give them like a free, like family photo shoot thing. Right.
And
like,
that's going to be
like more, that's going to cost money, right? It's going to cost upfront money. So like maybe that month I pause on investing as much or saving as much or whatever, but like, I know that I'm still okay. Like I still have the nest egg. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there has to be a balance, and I feel like it all comes back though to wanting like freedom and choice in your life with your money.
Definitely. Well, I think that wraps up all of the goals that we wanted to talk about in this episode. If you have any questions or any feedback for our podcast, definitely leave them in Spotify. We love answering all of your questions. We've been doing kind of monthly like bonus episodes to answer a bunch of questions from Spotify. So definitely leave them in there. Follow us on Instagram. You can also DM us if you have a question that you want us to get to sooner than that. And thanks for tuning in to the Girls Talk Money podcast.